Welcome to episode 135 of the Sports Geek Podcast. On this week's episode, I chat Nitro Athletics and Usain Bolt with Olympian John Stephenson.
Welcome to the Sports Geek Podcast, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host, who's checking the podcast download stats right now, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Very happy with the podcast download stats. Had a nice big bump to kick off 2017, just passing 175,000 downloads. So if you're one of the people, which you are because you're listening to this, who have downloaded the podcast, a big thank you. A bit of a recap from last year's. The three top episodes from 2016, that my chat with Nick Trilson covering the Western Bulldogs championship run or premiership success, as we would say in Australia. Also my chat with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment's Joe Gottfried, talking about the commercialisation of social and digital. It was another great chat if you haven't listened to it. And also my good friend from Blitz Metrics, Dennis Yu, episode 114, talking about the secrets sauce of Facebook ads. They were the top three from 2016. And yeah, pleasantly surprised. The Sports Geek replay that ran over the Christmas New Year period helped the numbers in January, and also helped us jump into the top 150 podcasts in Australia, which has been its highest ranking since it started. So again, thank you very much. My name is Sean Callanan, and this is the Sports Geek Podcast. You might be listening to it on iTunes, or you might be, under my heavy recommendation, listening to it on Pocket Cast app. I'm a massive fan of Pocket Cast. It's built here in Australia, works in Android and in iOS, and saves what episodes you're listening to and what you've downloaded across multiple devices if you're a multi-device person. I strongly suggest you check out Pocket Casts. This week's guest is Olympian John Stephenson, and one of the brainchild and the guys behind Nitro Athletics. To give you a little bit of background before I jump into the conversation with John, because it is, he brings the energy. He's an absolute colourful character and was a terrific interview. But Nitro Athletics is athletics' answer to what is the shortening form of sport. Over here in Australia, we've had cricket, which has multiple forms of the game, the five-day test match, the one-day cricket match, to then having 2020. We've had Anthony Evard on the show talking about the Big Bash League. And again, it's a short, sharp version of the game that's built for TV, and it's really about entertainment. And we've seen the shortening of a lot of different sports to sort of follow that model, whether it be Rugby 7, Auckland 9s in Rugby Union and Rugby League, respectively. And so this is Nitro's shot at that title, to produce a team-based sport that's points-based, that's built for TV, that'll get people involved, that's really about the entertainment. And the exciting thing is they've got an athlete named Usain Bolt involved, and he will be coming down and he will have a team. So it's very exciting to have them down here in Australia in February. And so the first round will be the 4th of Feb, 9th of Feb and the 11th of Feb. And so with teams from around the world and some real up-and-coming athletes. So, but I'm not the best person to talk about it. The best person to talk about it is my next guest, John Stephenson. Okay, here we are at Lakeside Stadium, Melbourne Park. I'm here with Olympian, Commonwealth Games medalist, Worldwide of Sports host, John Stephenson. Welcome to the Sports Geek Podcast.
The one and only. How you doing, Sean, man? Good to be on the station, on the podcast that everybody wants to get on, and I'm on it finally, Sean.
It's terrific to have you here, and a big shout-out and thanks to Dave Colbert for teeing this up. I want to talk to you about Nitro Athletics. Tell us about it.
The future is arriving February 4th, 9th, and 11th, man. It's been a crazy process. We're trying to change a sport that's hasn't been changed in 100 years, and to bring it up to speed of into the 2017, and that's make a short, compacted format which allows the viewer, both live and also on TV, feel engaged, feel entertained, and but still enjoy the convention of the normal track events. You know?
Yeah, so most people, you know, follow athletics, like, you know, you in Athens in the 400 getting a medal, and follow it every 4 years or every 2 years with the Commonwealth Games. So what are you looking to do in, you know, in Nitro to get those fans back that are only coming along every 2 years?
The easiest way to explain it is if you know cricket and you see the Big Bash cricket, or you know netball and you see Fast Five netball, or rugby league with rugby nines in New Zealand,
yep,
or rugby sevens, I mean, the list goes on. The format, everyone's realizing that there's niceties in the sport that we, yep, all love, that we've all played, but it needs to be fast, it needs to be entertaining. That's what athletics, I feel, has lacked over years. It, you know, you wait every 4 years, like you said, or every 2 years for a world champ, or every year for every 2 or 1 year for a world championship, depending if it's a Commonwealth year. And that's it. After that, you don't get your athletic fix except for a Diamond League, which I feel hasn't reached the potential it's meant to reach.
Yep.
You see, we get low participation in viewer. We can't get on television for our own athletics in Australia, let alone our national championships. The sport is dying rapidly. It's, yep, on its knees. So we have to get that market share of the other sports have, and we have to make athletics entertaining. You know, we all loved our school carnivals when we were younger, and this is very similar. There's teams, which is your factions, like when you're in school or your houses. You have points, 100, 80, 70, 60, 40, 30, like you had in school. And, you know, you're in your team, like I said again. And then we have a power play, which is similar to watching the TV show Survivor or hitting a six in the Big Bash cricket, yeah, where ideally what would you want is two teams right at the end on the last night, 80 points separating them, and only one team has a power play left, and they have to go out and win their, well, they can come second in their event, use a power play, and they win the whole tournament from second place. That option is there now. Yeah. You know, it's not just about the individual, teams actually matter. So this shorter format for entertainment is needed.
And yeah, so I've been lucky enough to chat with Anthony Everard from Cricket Australia, and talking about how Big Bash did it. Because again, there's this shortened form of all the sports, and you know, 2020 for the listeners who are in the United States who don't know what cricket is, but it's when it's, you know, 20 over game and it's built for TV, it's fun, and it's fast paced. And yeah, so many different sports have tried to find their 2020. And so Nitro is very much this, to get that team based, fun, quick, fast paced, entertaining, and made for TV.
Yeah, well, that's a big factor. Is we're working closely with Channel 7, NEP is the production company, and that was a big thing. How do we make this entertaining and different from a normal Olympic track structure?
Yep.
There's a lot of facets in there which allows us to do that. You know, how quick events turn around, what events are on in the night. So we got 60, 150, the distance medley relays, where instead of a relay being run male, say four males in a relay, it's two females, two males.
Okay.
So again, that throws a massive curveball how you set up a team. Like how do these teams set up their 4x1 when, yep, you got a male, female, male, female? You know, you might find Bolt racing against Geneva Tamo Bolt racing against Morgan Mitchell in the 4x1, you know, in the race, where you'd never see that ever.
Yep.
So it just allows us to have that point of difference, which then makes the event engaging. It allows people to interact because you have an opinion now.
Yep.
You know, it's not just as subjective as what running can be sometimes, where there's a winner and there's a loser and it's wrap, or someone runs 9 seconds, and most people that listen to this will not know what's 9 seconds feels like to run that, or even understand what 9 seconds means, but they do know what winning is.
Yep.
And they do know what points is and what it means to a team. We all have done that through our lives if we've gone to school.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try and relate to what people already know, and that's what makes people come back and watch. You watch Big Bash cricket, for those who don't know, it's very similar to baseball. We all play in America, for the American listeners, we've all played baseball in the backyard. We all played cricket in the backyard. We all know what it is to hit over the fence, which is a six in cricket,
yep,
and is a home run in baseball. So when you have a faster format like Big Bash and someone hits a six, that's the most relatable format of what we play in our backyard.
Yep.
So track and field, this Nitro is very, very similar to that. So, and that's what we've created.
And so what's been the response? You did mention a really big name in athletics just then. What has been the response of actual athletes and looking at this new format?
I think a lot of it, you know, when you're making a change as big as this is education.
Yep.
Educating people about what you're trying to do, educating people about what is about to happen. And that was a process. But as a whole, once they're educated, they are believers. So it's been very easy at the same time, but you have to make an effort to go out there to make a change in anything you do in life.
Yep.
And that's what our team has done. We've said, okay, there is a problem. Let's make a change. Let's do something different. And to have Sebastian Coe from the IAAF not only endorse it, but to actually fly over and actually watch the event speaks volumes. You know,
completely.
So, and I've had a lot of discussions off the record with a lot of heads of shoe companies, and they're very excited because they know it benefits them too. Sport, look, running is a foundation of most sports. I mean, unless you play darts, but even there, they run back and forth to the bar. So you need to. I shouldn't say that because I rate darts a lot, and I've actually commentated on a darts game, and it was one of the best times of my life. So you know, but at the same time, you know. Running is there. People can do it. We need to make that accessible and relatable again. You know, and everyone goes for a park run. Everyone says, okay, I'm going to get fit for football. First thing to do is go to the park and do some sprints or go for a long run. So it's there. It's there. We just got to give them something. We got to give them something tangible. They can say, let's go and watch the track.
And you think it's going to have the tangible benefit that one of the reasons Big Bash was built was to reconnect kids with the sport.
Yeah.
Both boys and girls.
Definitely.
And because you've got men and women running, doing all the different events, do you think that's going to have that flow-on effect, you know, to the little lats? I've still got my Peter's Pal Award that I won back in 1981 doing little lats. Do you think that's going to have that flow-on effect as kids see it on the telly and then go, I'm going to go out and start running?
You know, when we started this, that was always in the forefront of my mind is, you know, track and field, and I lived in America for 11 years out of Los Angeles, and I had the benefit of training out of UCLA, and you know, you'd see, you know, a variety of kids come down to Drake Stadium or Jackie Joyner. I think it's Jackie Joyner Kersey Stadium.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
we'll check it. The internet will know.
Yeah, the internet will know and be like, this guy doesn't, he never trained there. So, you know, and I obviously live in Australia and involved heavily in sport in Australia, and kids from 14 to 18 want to become something. You're going through adolescence, you want to be something.
Yep.
And famous Gatorade commercial, I Want to Be Like Mike, was there, and they did a great job in that because, yeah, we all wanted to be like Mike at one point.
Yep.
In stage.
And you've also got those Bo Jackson's videos.
Bo Jackson, I mean, what a legend in the game. So, you know, the big problem is for athletics, the dream that a kid has is Olympic Games, and it's such a hard thing to achieve to become an Olympian. It's even harder to win an Olympic medal.
Yep.
You need the gap filler.
Yep.
It's in between there. And you need a carrot. You know, in America, a lot of time is getting a college degree. You know, you do high school sports, you perform well, you can use high school sports for the scholarship for low socioeconomic cultures and areas. They use that to get a good college degree and then move forward. In Australia, we don't have that. We go straight out of high school into university. Then there's no real sports structure except if you make a team for AFL,
yep,
NRL, cricket. You know, you make a state team, you move on. So for athletics, that's a big problem for us. Yeah, there's world juniors, but there's not a real financial carrot for them where they can say, you know what, I can make it. For instance, in our team now for Australia, we have a young 17-year-old girl that won all schools in the Australian team.
Yep.
She wouldn't have that opportunity for a normal world champs, Commonwealth, Olympic team, unless she runs the qualifiers like an open senior athlete who's 25 years of age. Nitro has that opportunity because holistically we looked at what she brings.
Yep.
She's young, she's performing well, and there's a young 16-year-old girl that will watch that on TV when the show is on or on live and go, hey, that could be me.
Yep.
I can actually run. Like, that's an opportunity for me. She could do it, I can do it. That's what we need. You know, that's why our top young athletes in golf, football, anything in the world, Nike or Adidas, and they jump on them quickly because they know that most young kids want to buy that shoe to be like them.
Yep.
You know, so that was where we feel Nitro has that opportunity, and it is that gap filler for us for our test match style forms of the game,
yep,
which is our Olympics, Commonwealth, national titles.
And it'll be a great experience for those young up-and-coming athletes to be able to, you know, exceed under pressure, crowds, the eyes of, you know, the eyes of the nation.
Definitely.
With TV and a big crowd without having to go to, you know, the Rio for their first big meet.
Definitely.
And have those nerves be overwhelming.
And that's where we struggle. We do struggle at our top international level nationally for Australian teams. And, you know, that's something we're working on in Australia to rectify that. And you're quite right. The pressures of elite sport are becoming more and more prevalent within forms of communication on the internet or in the paper or in movies, where people now realizing that to be an elite athlete is not as glorified and is not as easy as what it looks. There's a lot of emotional pressure that comes along with it. So the younger you can teach these kids to be able to handle these things, the better.
Yep. Wanted to get into, Usain Bolt is going to be coming out. The big guy. He's a good mate of yours. What's he feel about the format? Is he looking forward to coming down to Australia?
No, funny enough, I spoke to him this morning driving here. So we talk quite a bit, and we never really mix business or athletics. We normally try and keep it quite light because he participates still in the sport, and I did it for so long. There's so much more things we try and talk about.
Yep.
But it's funny, today I said to him, "How's training going? You're training well." So he's just gotten back to training, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm training good." I said, "No, the funny thing is," I said, "this competition is actually really cool. It might not all be about you when you come out here, you know." And he said, "Shut up, John. It's always about me." So it was a funny moment. So, you know, the guy is a legend. What he's created, you know, individually as an athlete with 9 Olympic gold medals is so crazy. Like, it's such a hard thing to believe. Like, for me, even I'm his friend, and I always call him a gift from God, because it's just, I've run and I've won 1 Olympic medal, and that was in a 4x4 with a team of guys.
Yep.
And, you know, I tried so hard many a years to win an individual Olympic medal. And this guy in 3 separate Olympics has won 3 gold medals and been able to rally a team together. Mind you, each of those athletes in his 4x1 team were great athletes in their own right, but still, to, you know, he played a big role in captaining and motivating
him
on that team. And to have 4 guys be on the same page for 3 separate Olympics to win that and then break world records it's just crazy. Like, when you talk about it, it's hard to fathom it. So
I think I read you know, you call him the Bradman of your sport, and he's that far in front and above everybody else.
It's day and night. And I always say to people, if I can take you back, hop in the DeLorean, me, Michael J. Fox, and Doc, and say, let's go watch Babe Ruth play.
Yep.
Or let's go watch Don Bradman play. Or let's go watch Bo Jackson or O.J. Yep. Simpson.
Or early late 80s Michael Jordan. You know?
Man, or Larry Bird. Or, yeah. I mean, you say, yeah, when, how?
Yeah.
We have this opportunity in Australia. First time he's running in Australia, we have this opportunity for people here living here to come and watch this.
Yep.
We have this opportunity where we've seen Olympic Games to watch this guy, like for some of us. Anytime you can come out and live and see this guy, do it.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
You're going to tell your kids, and your kids are going to tell their kids about this guy.
Yeah,
exactly. That's wild. You know, that's crazy. We're alive for this.
It is. You're running out of words, and John doesn't normally run out of words.
I can't explain it. So, and I thought, for me, Carl Lewis is one of the greatest of all times. And I sit Usain and Carl very close together, and I give Usain after this Olympics the top spot. And even Carl in medals is a distant second.
Yep.
To Usain, you know. But what Carl did for the sport is, I mean, for a long time he was the man.
So one of the things that we've seen has been as the Big Bash and T20 has grown worldwide, is we've been able to extend the careers of great cricketers like Kevin Peterson, Brendan McCullum, all these guys. Brad Hodge still playing. What is he? 47 now? 48?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Is there a chance that, you know, guys like Usain that just love this format and go, it's a team format? I've just got to do my piece.
Great question, Sean, and I think you can see it. I think you understand it. You gave me a great lead question. That's what makes him good, guys. That's why you listen. That's why you pay attention. So, no, 100%. That's because it takes the pressure off the individual.
Yep.
You know, athletics can sometimes be too subjective where we don't rate an athlete unless they do what Usain does.
Yep.
We don't pay attention to other seven lanes. Because as you're saying, and there's, who came second? Mm. Or who was that guy at seventh? But that guy that made the final is an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah,
put him in most sports, he's in the top percentile.
Top eight people and fastest people in the world. Like,
you put him in, American
I put football. Him as a wide receiver and no one catches him.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance. So, you know, I'm not disrespecting the skill of each of these sports. We're talking about as far as being able to be in that top percentile.
Correct, yeah.
And what it takes to get there for every 4 years, mind you.
Yeah.
So you know, when you see that, it allows people to like – and it's a great foresight you have, because that is needed for our sport as well as the youth.
Yep.
It's needed that we respect the people that have paved the way as well, that they're not put out to pasture as soon as they don't win the Melbourne Cup or the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
You understand?
Oh, completely.
So they still get to compete and be appreciated for their skills and their talents, which a lot of these athletes do have in track and field.
And that's the thing, the format, the way that you're trying to... The format allows it, and also it allows it to go, here's our Australian series, here's our US series,
and that's definitely
here's
what
our
we're
European
doing.
Series. And
so that's why it was great having Seb interested.
You know,
that's why it's great that he's endorsing, that he's saying, hey, this is interesting. I like this. Let's see how it goes. You know, so that's what we want to achieve. We want this to, I mean, the long term goal is to have this in all the schools.
Yep.
Where this is their athletic format that they use, you know, moving forward for even our little athletics. There's a nitro competition within the athletics.
Yep.
You know, and there's a nitro competition within our states, and it allows us again to take pressure off our test match series format of athletics, you know.
So where can people get tickets? Where should they be?
Another great question. See, guys, Sean's on fire today. So, no, you can go to Ticketmaster to get your tickets. They're reasonably priced from $20 up to $85 for a grandstand seat. You got to be very, very quick because we're pretty much almost sold out on our last night, half sold out on our first night, and the same for our Thursday night. So
by the time this is published, this could be sold out. So yes. I'll send out some tweets.
So February 4th, 9th and 11th and at Lakeside Stadium in Melbourne, Victoria. So
and if you can't make it, it'll be on Channel 7?
Channel 7 live around Australia, except for Melbourne, where it'll be on a delayed telecast after women's football, which is exciting. And as we speak, we're finding out on our international broadcast where it'll be televised around the world, which is really exciting. So we're just trying to tick all boxes. We know there's a lot of loyal track fans out there. There's a lot of people that love track, but just don't have the track and field hasn't given them the access to love track again. So
yep.
We're trying to provide that, and God has extremely blessed us to be in this position now where we are at, and we're just hoping to continue this path and to change the game, man.
That's terrific. I've got five questions to close this interview off. I know you've got to get to a meeting to do some more nitro work.
Hit me.
Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
First sports event I ever attended. Can I tell you the first sports event I attended that changed my life?
That's even a better one.
Okay, first sports event that I attended that changed my life would be I did boxing from when I was 11 till I was 19. I only started running when I was 20, 21.
Yep.
And the Sydney Olympics was on in Sydney, and my father bought tickets to all the boxing quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals.
Yep.
And I went, and on one of the nights, Danny Green fought Alexander Lebziak from Russia, who was one of the best, if you look him up, he's one of the best amateur boxers that existed in that weight class. And I remember sitting, and the parochialism and the patriotism of the Australian crowd when Danny was fighting gave me shivers. And I didn't end up watching the fight. I ended up watching the crowd.
Yep.
And I said to myself sitting there that one day I'm going to represent my country and have my people screaming for me like this.
Yep.
And that was the moment where I wanted to become a champion in sports. I just wanted that adulation in that moment. I wanted that exact moment. And I never thought I'd get it until Commonwealth Games in Melbourne, when I was able to win in front of 90,000 people, where I got that moment. And it kind of sucked, because once I reached that goal, I became a bit laxed, and it was hard to find the next carrot or the next goal that I wanted for my own vocation.
Yep.
So yeah, that was a moment, a sporting moment for me, which where I decided, you know what, I need this in my life.
Terrific. I was at the Sydney Olympics, same Australia versus Russia, but it was Andrew Gaze and the Boomers beating the Russians for the first time in Olympic competition. Yeah. And yeah, the hairs on the back of the neck. I remember hugging Peter Brock and jumping up and down. It was the best. Normally I'm asking sports executives about what their favorite food they ate at a sports event, but you're an athlete. Do you have a space?
Shoot me that question.
When you go to a game, what's your favorite food?
Hot chips.
Hot chips?
Easy one, yeah.
In the morning, you pick up your phone. What's the first app you open?
In the morning, pick up my phone. First app that I'd open would be... Well, you can't ask me that question, Sean, because what happens is, if you have an iPhone, is it alerts you on who has hit you up.
So,
right? First one that I go to, depending on what I'm doing. So right now for Nitro, the first one to open up is my email.
Email.
Yep. That's my first one. If Nitro doesn't exist, it's Instagram.
Okay, Instagram.
Just for a little light entertainment before I get
up. Exactly. Just taking the pictures. You don't need to take it too much.
I don't want to talk to no one. I just want to take in some pictures, see what the world's doing.
Well, that might actually answer, what is your MVP social media platform? Is it Instagram?
Yeah, it'd be Insta.
Yep. And if there is someone that you think the Sports Geek podcast listeners should be following, whether it be on the Insta or on Twitter or online somewhere, who would you say they should be following?
Man, that's a real tough one. But I'm a massive fan of at the moment. I like the firebrands, because not that I was one in my career, but I like Odell Beckham Jr. at the moment. I know people give him a lot of flack, and he can be a little bit precious at times. But I think he's being himself. I'm loving people that are true to who they are as people, for right, wrong, or indifferent. And I follow him, and I don't follow too many people, but he's one guy which I think right now, I just every time I look at a post from him, it either spins me out, weirds me out, or makes me laugh. So
he is a unique individual.
Yeah,
but he owns it. That's the thing.
He owns it, you know, and I like that. So, I'd obviously say Usain Bolt as well, because especially Snapchat is just hilarious, man. And I don't do Snapchat, but I definitely have it just to follow him to see what he does each night.
His own reality show, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's just, you know, like I can follow him, but I know exactly where, because we do a lot of things. I know exactly what's happening at what stage. So, the big man is a funny guy. So, yeah, that's probably.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. Look forward to Nitro, and we'll see you in February.
Thank you, Sean. You're doing a great job, and we appreciate all your support, and wish you all the best too, and we see you at Nitro come February 4th.
Cheers.
Sign up for Sports Geek News at sportsgeekhq.com/signup now.
Thanks again to John Stephenson. Absolutely terrific interview. I don't normally interview someone cold as I did John. I normally know them, or they know of me. But as you could hear from the interview, and I'm sure James had his work cut out in leveling some of the volume that John brought to the podcast. But he's absolute character, and he's the right guy to be promoting the series. Also, a big thanks to another Olympian, Dave Colbert from Jump Media, to help set up the interview, and also Nick Holland from Athletics Australia for helping tee that up. I wish you all the success for Nitro. I think it will be something that catches the imagination of the Australian public and has massive potential to go global, as John said. It's really, that's the formula. We've seen the success of T20 around the world. From a cricket point of view, we can only hope that a format like Nitro is something that keeps the great Usain Bolt running around a track. Which leads me to a question of the podcast. Is there, name one athlete you would like to see in your life live? And it is terribly appealing to see Usain Bolt run. As John said, remarkable athlete, Three Olympics and gold medals every time he lines up. It will be pretty special. If I quote famed Australian commentator Bruce McAvaney, it will be very special to see Usain Bolt in action. But I would love to know, who do you want to see live? Send me a tweet at Sean Callanan. Or tag me on a post in the Sports Biz Slack community. I'd love to hear about it. I've got one other question I've got. Are you going to South by Southwest? I am going to South by Southwest this year. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it because one of the people that I know that are already going, the conversations that are already happening, we've already set up a South by Southwest channel in the Sports Biz Slack. So I'm looking forward to catching up with people for the first time, like Makers of Sport host Adam Martin will be there, and many more that are very active in the Sports Biz Slack, and people that I know. I'm looking forward to catching up with good friend Dwayne Hankins, and TJ Ansley, who are at the Portland Trailblazers. Lenny Go from Tradable Bits will be there. There's a whole bunch of people. We most likely will be doing a live podcast and a recording from some barbecue joint in Austin. So if you are going, please let me know. Please join up. We're definitely having a meetup of sorts of all the people that are in the Sports Biz Slack and people who listen to the podcast. So please reach out, make sure, you know, tell us that you're coming. I would love to meet you all. I will bring swag to hand out. There will not be a lack of sports geek stickers and t-shirts. I will bring them along, but love to meet you all. So if you're going to South by Southwest in the sports sector, there's, you know, some people that I know, Rich Clark, another former guest, he'll be speaking, he'll be there, and a few others. So please let me know. Love to catch up. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to the Sports Geek Podcast.
Like the Sports Geek Podcast? Find us on Facebook.com/SportsGeek. Check out which teams work with Sports Geek at SportsGeekHQ.com/clients. Please leave a review on iTunes. Go to SportsGeekHQ.com/iTunes. Thanks for listening to the Sports Geek Podcast.